Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness, a college education, a good job, a healthy family, respect for your neighbors, retirement, happiness. Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness.
Ignorance.
A college education.
Mental programming.
A good job.
Slavery.
A healthy family.
Corporate control.
Respect for your neighbors.
Governmental abuses.
Retirement.
Obey.
Happiness.
You are now listening to the world famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am
Sofa King. No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with Todd.
You say funny things.
What's going on, fellas? We're back.
We are back.
You hit go and my glass was still half full of beer.
I know, you freaked the fuck out.
Well, I was like, oh god, I have to have a whiskey clink. I looked at that pin glass. I was like, how dirty is that glass really?
I don't know. You say you don't care.
So. I say it's just a friend. It's probably pretty bad if I had to use this.
He's just a friend.
Yeah, there's something in the bottom of that wouldn't be good.
Yeah.
I think it's just ink.
Oh, you were gonna use that glass.
Well, because it was still full of beer, so I had to chug the beer and then pour the whiskey all while the intro was going. Okay. I was in a bit of a panic.
It's like 2.5 minutes.
The intro?
It's like 8 minutes long. Yeah.
The intro. It's like 17 minutes and 30 seconds.
Yeah. It's like a quarter of our show.
Yeah.
Intro's quarter.
We play the intro.
Yeah,
and then
the hot
don't
sack.
Be retired.
Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah,
give me time dysplasia. Fucking me up, man. Quit messing with me.
We're not messing with you. Like that's what it is.
Well, maybe I'm stoned because when I'm stoned, a hot pocket takes 15 minutes to cook.
I don't know. Does Google usually look like that?
No. What's going on? I've shifted it into another dimension.
Yeah, something's happening.
Dave has only, I don't know. I can't speak for Dave, but isn't that weird? The time dilation thing that happens when you're stoned and you try to cook a hot pocket. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know.
People know what I'm talking about. No, it's the weirdest thing, dude. Like if you smoke, and then you go to get your snack and you put, for example, a Hot Pocket in the microwave that you set for 1 minute and 10 seconds in my particular microwave. And sometimes I flip it around 40 or something. But if you're stoned, you don't flip it. You fucking forget. And you walk off to the fridge to get while I'm waiting for my Hot Pocket.
You're called
snack,
peanut butter water?
Pickle or something, right? Like I need the
bizarre. Yeah. I was going to throw out the pickle.
I must masticate for a little while before my Hot Pocket finishes.
Auto mastication.
Yes, auto mastication. And then I'm looking in the fridge and then checking the cupboard. I walk to the back, I check the pantry, and then finally you come to a decision. You get a pickle, you eat the pickle. And mind you, I started it at 1 minute and 10 seconds. You walk back over to the microwave and it's at 56 seconds. I don't know what the fuck is going on. I don't understand
how
it
happens. You did a lot in that.
I did way too much. And I know I wasn't running in my kitchen. Like I did not fucking run to the pantry, run to the other cupboard, run to the refrigerator. And somehow, like 16 seconds passed.
Made a bowl of Top Ramen and ate it. And only 16 seconds.
That happens to me when I take a dump. Very often I'll put something in the microwave for like 3 or 4 minutes
and then go take a shit
and hit start and I go and I like if I have a mutant power.
Dave wants to fill that void, man. He's gonna drop some off
if
I gotta immediately put something back in.
If I have a mutant power, it is the ability to take massive effortless shits. And it's not a great power. It's not going to save the world.
It's because you eat those things there.
But I will hit start on the microwave. I will go back. I will take a dump. I'll go back into the kitchen and I've still got like 1 minute and 45 seconds left.
And how much did you start with?
Three or 4 minutes.
Yeah. That's a power poop, man.
His shit looks like the Jurassic Park, you know, the fucking, you know, digging through the fucking pile of shit.
It's because he's vegan. It's nothing but fiber. He's just pushing through. Yeah.
Yeah. His toilet's extra sized. Like it's like three times the size of any other toilet.
He saves money on toilet paper. He wipes with one square.
Normal toilet flushes with about a gallon and a half of water. His is a 6 gallon toilet.
No, I do have an oversized toilet.
The tank looks like a fucking water heater, like on the back of the fucking toilet.
But I have my whole life. It isn't just the vegan thing. It's like my dad, when he was alive, like we would go to Hawaii or something.
You guys have competitive shitting contests?
No, we'd be like getting ready to go to dinner. And it's like, we're all like, hey, Fuzzy, it's time to go to dinner, you know, get dressed and let's go. And he'd be like, all right, I just got to take a shit first. And we're like, oh, fucking my God. And he would be in there for like an hour. And I'm just like, oh my God, what are you doing? Like, apparently you didn't have, like, when
didn't
I have
take his Metamucil.
When I have to go, like, I have to go. Like, there's no me sitting there for an hour. Like, I'm done, in and out. The Navy SEAL of pooping.
I don't know. I take my time sometimes. I'm usually done. I'm sitting there for quite some time. Read the shampoo bottles, you know.
Yeah.
Hydrolyzed animal protein, yellow number 5.
I'm in and out.
Yeah, some reading material.
Yeah, I'm in and out too. I don't know.
That got awkward really fast.
He said, I'm in and out with eye contact. Yeah. And you guys just locked eyes.
That is true. Yeah. I didn't think it was awkward, but my mind didn't go there. So
What do we call my mouth hole on my wiener last episode?
upper front hole.
Someone's going to animate that. Through the hole in the desk with Santa Claus hat.
So I had... I told Brent about this, but I had a surprise El Yucateco sighting this week.
I forgot already. This is going to be great. It's like I did all over there. New story.
All of our jokes that we did upstairs, too, that didn't make it on the show, we can do them again.
You guys do miss out on some shit. We had some jokes that are not going to make it in because it's just...
Well, they probably will. We'll have to switch them around. Yeah, Dory.
Actually, you guys can do it. I'll just laugh. Yeah, I don't remember them. Yeah,
I don't remember either.
I was watching Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee with Jerry Seinfeld. And Norm Macdonald was on it. And Norm Macdonald, to me, is like hands down one of the funniest comedians on earth. And I was like, okay, I definitely have to watch this one. And about 11 minutes into the episode, they're sitting in a diner. And I think they're eating biscuits and gravy. And just like smack dab, like in the front of the table is a green El Yucateco bottle and a red El Yucateco bottle. And
Triple X spun backwards, no?
I think it was red.
Was it red?
It was just the standard red and the green. But like Seinfeld is like has to – he's like, oh my God, that's the hottest hot sauce I've ever had. And they like freak out about how – but the El Yucateco is just like smack dab, like center frame right in the middle. I was like, is this product placement? But he doesn't. He only has one advertiser, which is Acura or something.
I sent that to El Yucateco. Oh, did you? They're always like, I'm so behind, apparently. They're never impressed. They're like, oh, yeah, then that was funny. It was like 6 months ago. They just dropped that at the end. Thanks, Sarah.
Yeah, but you got to think their following probably sends them all their shit.
Yeah, in real time, someone sent that shit to them.
Yeah, and we don't give a fuck.
Yeah. I'm slow more than one way.
We don't have any prizes to give away.
You guys don't participate.
We don't have a whiskey. We don't have a whiskey to drink.
Well, we could grab a whiskey.
We could just grab a whiskey. Yeah, we could do that. Something we could reach back. What could we do? There's a lot of whiskey around here.
I don't know. There's been a lot of debate on bourbon and whatnot online. And I've been sticking with that Burnside, man.
Let's grab the Burnside. I want to try that again.
Where's that?
It's up there. There. Yeah, you all right? Everything good? Because like a lot of people think that the bourbon's only made in Kentucky, but it's only 90% of the bourbon is made in Kentucky. So Oregon's actually popping out some fucking good bourbon. What's the other shit we got from Oregon that was good? The Westward was good.
Is it Eagle Rare? Was that
Eagle Rare? I don't know.
So this is the Burnside, and it was by Josh Haney.
Yeah. Josh McFaney.
Hey, dare you.
Oh, let me get it in there. Oh, yeah.
That is really good. Damn.
Yeah, that's good.
I wish my memory was better. I'm like... knowing that I like, but I don't know. I can remember. I guess I've eaten a million. You know, I was going to say like, oh, that Taco Bell taco tastes just like this. But I can't remember whiskey until I drink it. And I'm like,
Yeah. It's hard to. There's so many different flavors.
Which is why we just say spicy.
Yeah. So what we've learned is that Taco Bell makes bread hard. In summary.
Is that what we learned?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I can go with it. I mean, I'll fuck a taco.
Speaking of fucking tacos, Our topic today is the
Crips and Bloody Tacos.
That's right. The Crips and the Bloods, the LA gang war. Looking at a lot of it. I think it's a,
I got into the East Coast, you know, had to go East Coast on it too.
They did. I mean, they're now they're fucking everywhere. I mean, they're truly international. And the funny thing is, apparently there's a lot, like
French Bloods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's Crips and Bloods everywhere, but apparently, like, I was watching one gang expert who like goes and like tries to look at all the different sets and who, you know, who's where, and he's like, you know, you can get to a set in another country and in 10 minutes you can figure out, was this actually established by someone from the States, or is this just a bunch of motherfuckers who saw pictures in a magazine?
Yeah,
but
yeah,
they're still a gang, they're still doing fucked up shit, but they're just, but he was like, you can just tell instantly there's such a difference.
Like, yeah, the bagpipe set, that's a perfect example. Right, that, yeah, one's really weird. Yeah, they would, yeah, never do that. But they, you know what, have you seen, this is not that, but have you seen the Asian cholo thing? It's, yeah, more of a style thing though. I don't, yeah, think it's a gang. But
they're cholos. Yeah,
yeah, they dress, and it's crazy, is with the sunglasses, low riders, and stuff,
yeah,
because of their complexion, like they look like you would have no idea that's like in Asia.
Littler Mexicans.
Yeah. They have the bandanas, the fucking socks to their shorts where there's like this much leg, yeah, skin.
The white beaters. Blue stripes on the socks.
Yeah, right, the tattoos and shit and the low riders. It's like, damn, those dudes are cholos. And then they take their glasses off. And
yeah. And they just look at high.
Yeah, they're just noticeably Asian.
All of a sudden they turn yellow, yeah, and a tree grows underneath them.
Lifts them into the sky. Why the tree?
It's when they're sniping people out the trees.
Oh, right. You're right. Yeah. You're right. So yeah, but the LA gangs, so I think it's a, I don't know, I'm always fascinated with this. It's because it became such a big
row riders. Culture. I just thought of that, row riders, because I can't do that over.
It became such a popular culture thing when I was like late in high school and early in college, like this, the LA gang thing was the scene.
Yeah. Rah Rasa. I'm just thinking, right, like the Asian, right, gangsters can't say L's.
Ra Rasa.
This one's for Ra Rasa.
What about
my Roll Rider?
What about the Supernatural
Rider?
Witch named Ra Rarona.
Ra Rarona? You got me on that one.
Somebody's,
I will, mind, interrupt with more Asian gangster, please, Mexican, please, references, arms, as I think of
it. Well, we're talking about black gangs today.
I know, right, but, right, I can't help it.
Right.
I got no impression for that.
But the thing that's always interesting to me about this is, it's, I think part of the reason that these gangs got so big so quickly, LA was just a very unique place for as a breeding ground, but culture wise, it just like filled a void. I mean, it was, I mentioned this briefly when we talked about like grunge and Kurt Cobain and all that stuff, but I mean, this is the same era, it's the same time, and it's a time of sort of Generation X counterculture.
I had no idea how, like, early it started. That, yeah, that was what,
no, it started in the, yeah, in the, I mean, 60s, but
I mean, it pretty much was a byproduct of the Black Panthers. You, yeah, know what I mean? Like, once the Black Panthers, they killed the leaders of the Black Panthers in LA, and then the byproduct was
this
the
power game. Vacuum. Yeah,
the Crips.
They came, yeah, in. But like when they really blew up in the 80s and they became like a popular culture phenomenon, when NWA hit, when Boys in the Hood, Menace to Society, Colors, like all these different movies came out. And I think it was part of this same thing, because like if you look at, you know, the Italian mob, like a traditional Italian mafia movie, like they tend to be well-dressed and there's a certain code and you have to be, you know, Italian to be in it and so forth. And it was like all of a sudden there's this counterculture version of that where you can wear fucking Dickies and creased, you know, pants that you can afford and look like a gangster. And I think it's why it spread culturally, because it was part of that. I want to, like, Gen X doesn't want to spend a lot of money on clothes. They want to look like they're, you know, from the street, like whatever. And I think it was kind of the hipster version for Generation X, is you're either doing the, like if you were white, you were pretty much going to be Kurt Cobain in it. And if you were black, you were going to be LA gang in it. Right. I mean, you,
yeah,
were,
and it depends on the decade that you're talking about too. When drugs came into the scene, obviously there was a lot of people with a lack of opportunity as far as like careers.
Sure.
And it's already their brothers doing it. You know what I mean? It's a product of their environment. Really. They didn't have much choice. It's pretty rare that you're going to not end up that way.
Right.
But early on, I think it was like Brad said, like after the Black Panther, yeah, thing,
it was more of a unity thing. Like, yeah, they really just wanted to group up and have some sort of protection.
Right.
I didn't realize what badasses the Black Panthers were. I didn't know they're standing out there with fucking shotguns on the street, yeah, policing the police.
They had shotguns and law books. You know what I mean? Like, and, right, and they would watch the interactions of the police. And then, you know, if something went wrong, they had their law book there to be like, nah, you guys are fucking up. or whatever, you know, so they knew the law. But yeah, after that, you know, these gangs started and pretty much, you know, they were looking for the brotherhood, you know, that right. That's what the gang, that's what all gangs have in common is that this brotherhood. Unity, that brother. Yeah. This unity.
I was looking at just like looking, back in time, in Los Angeles at the different gang stuff. And there was actually, there's a really, I'll post the link in the description, but there's an article, from a professor at Stanford and she looks back at all of gang culture, in Los Angeles, like starting in the 20s and 30s. And she's talking about these gangs that were called like the Magnificents and the Kellys and the Boozies. Like it couldn't be more 20s.
It was real warriors.
Yeah. Action. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's kind of what it was. And they were just petty crimes. They would each have like one thing, like the Boozies, just did like prostitution, which is odd. You think they'd be the hookies or something. You think in the 20s, if you were the Boozies, you might be bootlegging, not doing prostitution. But anyway, so like the 20s and 30s and then the 40s, the black gang started to grow in number, like after World War II. And there were gangs called like the Purple Hearts. A lot of them were just named after the streets, which they still kind of are. So like there was just the 31st Street and 28th Street and just these different gangs. And again, just low scale, et cetera. They started to get in a little bit bigger and doing like, you know, protection, you know, racketeering, stuff like that. And then in the 1950s, it started to turn into more of a car culture in LA. And we started to get more car clubs like the Road Devils. And again, just great names, the Coasters, the Highwaymen, the Road Devils, the Rebel Rousers, the Huns, the Watts Farmers.
Fucking the Blood Alley names,
again. It's just like it's like the old movie Warriors, and they were just small gangs. They would control a block or two. It was a handful of people, and like even in the 1950s, like you know, you laugh if you see like whatever that fucking movie is with the Jets and all that, like the different gangs. What is West Side Story?
Yeah,
where like you know they'll like or like you know Beat It by Michael Jackson or whatever, and it's like or
they
Bad.
They have a dance,
and it's
off.
Like you'll chain, you know, you'll tie your hands together and get in a knife fight, which is really fucking awful if you think about it. Like you tie your left hands together so you can't get away from each other, and in your right hands you each have a knife. But they would do that, and it was like the gang leaders would settle it, and whoever won, the gang won.
Yeah.
Or they would have like a fucking.
I do that too. We hold the same hand, but then our other hands, our dicks are in our hand, and it's called a jerk off.
No, I know.
And just whoever finishes first.
Yeah, I know you do that. You always try to do it with me.
Pictures.
I know.
Yeah, every time we shake hands, you're at risk.
But they would straight up go Ron Burgundy, and they would all just show up with like bats and chains, and they would beat the shit out of each other. And the rules were whoever had the, and like they wouldn't kill each other, but whoever had the most conscious gang members at the end won the turf war, and that was it.
Like whoever had the most stab wounds lost.
So, but in the '60s, in the '60s, everything started to change. And again, it was because of the Black Panthers, the Black Power movements. And in LA, a couple of scenarios in LA, one thing is they don't have the racial tension of the South.
Yeah.
So like during the civil rights movement, the South was like where it was at, because that's where the lynchings were happening, like in mass.
Well, and that was
where,
white on black.
That's
crime,
exactly. You know? So it's like, that was where the civil rights leaders were showing up to like preach the best thing. And a lot of them were preachers, and they were trying to like, you know, recruit from churches. But in LA, they didn't have that to worry about. Yeah. So in LA, it was much more radicalized, and it was Black Panthers and the Black Power movement. And these were the people that were running things in the 60s. But then the Black Panther, and I didn't see why. I just saw once all the leaders of the Black Panthers were dead, and
there
I was
were
like,
two
what the
significant
fuck?
People that got assassinated.
Yeah, they got assassinated. Yeah.
The major leaders, and they didn't, no one stepped into their place. Apparently, right. Those were some like.
So there was a big power vacuum.
Yeah, important, influential members that no one could fill those boots. And so they're like, fuck it, let's start a new gang.
Just turn street.
Right.
Let's just shoot each other.
So as soon as that happened, there were the first between the Bloods and the Crips. The Crips came up first. And it was two guys, Raymond Washington and Stanley Tukey Williams.
Yeah, Tukey.
Good old Tukey. And they founded the Crip.
That was a buff motherfucker.
Fuck yeah, he was, dude. And they founded the gang, and it was called the Cribs, not the Crips. It was with a B at first.
It was actually called the Baby Cribs.
Yeah, Tukey wasn't – Tukey actually took over the West Side eventually. But Raymond, it was his brother who was partially crippled. And so there's like some I don't know, folklore, I guess, around how was he the it one became who
was
the Crips.
Was he crippled because he got shot in gang stuff?
No, he just had like a, he walked fucked up, oh, and they okay. would always write Crip on his shoe.
I saw that. So there was a police yeah. sergeant who said he literally interviewed 10 of the like original Crips, right?
OG
and said he,
guys.
And he yeah. got 8 different stories. One yeah. of them being the Brad right. story. right. Another one that's pretty popular is the fact that they used to walk with pimp canes just to show mm-hmm. their pimp status.
And they
status,
would beat people with
and
canes.
And they would beat them up and use them as weapons.
Yeah.
And so also, like Crips, yeah. so they would call them Crips, short for cripple. But also there was a story of them robbing a, like a Korean market.
Yeah.
And he, the guy,
you no need be here.
He called them the cripple kids or whatever, cause they had the canes.
Yeah.
So there's that story. There's also apparently one of these main guys had a gang called the Cripplers. Originally, and that it stemmed from that.
That sounds bad.
So I might be wrong, but I think that was a guy named Jameel Barnes.
Yeah, sounds had a game right. called the Cripplers.
We'll go with that because there's no.
So there's no true. Yeah, the folklore behind it is it varies quite a bit as far as how that name evolved from crib to crip. But
because even like they were the baby cribs,
because the groups that spawned into it were called like the Black Overlords, the Assassins. Like right. there was no. It wasn't like it was a natural extension.
And they were called the Cribs because they were like average age was like 15 or 16.
Right. Yeah, they're all kids. Yeah. They're all kids going out yeah. there fucking people up.
Yeah, Robin Ferguson was trying to get him. She was trying to like recruit him for dates and stuff for her dating site back in the day. She's like,
I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Patron throwback.
Took me a minute.
Cradle Robin.
But so yeah, these guys start this gang, and it's pretty like in the 60s, they even said like what the fuck? I'm trying to find the guy's name. A guy named T. Rogers.
The Jolly Rogers brother.
That's right. Yeah. And he's an OG guy. He was one of the first Bloods, and now he's like, he's out of it completely, or as out of it as you can get. Apparently they claim can never get out.
Well, and they said too, even the Crips, they said that you can either be, you can still Crip and not have to kill people.
Right.
You can either choose life or you could choose death.
Right.
And so they're still, associated.
They still represent.
They're just right. doing good work instead of right. bad.
They yeah, said it's not. Crip to the casket and passed it. I thought that was funny.
Nice. So T. Rogers, he was one of the early guys, and in the Bloods, now he's like basically his job now is he advises for Hollywood. So if they're making a gang movie, like
sure it's true.
He's the yeah. guy who shows up to make sure it's accurate and all this kind of stuff. But he again, he said in an interview that I read that the early Bloods weren't really all that different from the Black Panthers. He said, like, when we started, it was all about black rights and protecting our own neighborhoods. And it wasn't like a gang rivalry thing.
Yeah.
It was
well, like, their whole, like the whole blood symbol is brotherly love, unity, peace, you know yeah. what I mean? Like, and spiritualism, you know what I mean? They use the five-sided star, the pagan star as their, you know, as their 5 points, basically.
And they even got all trippy because they said that, like, they originally started wearing the red bandanas because they said the red symbolized the blood that was being shed by black people. The black that was on it represented them because they were black, and that the white represented the celestial because that's
keeping
what they
them
were
down.
Like. That's
yeah.
right.
The celestial white is keeping them down.
Celestial white God is keeping them mm-hmm. down. But so, no, they did. But again, like at the early days, it wasn't like the typical thing that you picture now in LA in a street gang. It was more, it was smaller neighborhoods protecting themselves, things
you,
like that.
Did you see the Crips eliminated B from their vocabulary in opposition yeah.
so,
to the
so
Bloods.
Did the Bloods.
Yeah.
The Bloods eliminated the C.
They were like, yeah. yo, what's up, McCoy? Like instead of boy, instead of boy. I was like, that's weird. So they start calling each other cuz because right. Koi sounded retarded. And that was like, instead of bro, it was like a term of endearment and
yeah.
family.
So yeah, the Crips call each other cuz, the Bloods call each other blood. But like, they would like, if you're from Compton, they would say Bompton because yeah. they won't say the C.
Yeah.
They,
well, and know. There's rappers now, YG, he has an album and he has a song called Bompton.
Straight out of Bompton.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
but like, you know, if they were like, we're just kicking back being cool, they'd say kicking cat keying cool, like, because they're not gonna, yeah. like, it sounded very like Smurfy to me.
Yeah.
like very,
it's very childish. It's very childish. It's like, you know, don't step on a crack. You're breaking mama's back.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, it's fucking like, what the fuck? It's stupid.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, everybody wants to be original. Everybody wants to
make
own
a funny
thing.
Skit, like the Bloods versus the Crips, and everybody's all confused because he keeps saying, like,
yeah,
yo, you want to read some cooks? He's like, just what?
Yeah.
Like they're getting on.
And everybody wonders why, like, you know, black vocabulary, like Ebonics, is so bad, you know, like, fucking they're leaving letters out of the alphabet, you know? Yeah,
they're intentionally changing it.
What but kind of fish are you like? You want some catfish? Oh, no, I want some batfish.
What the fuck are you talking about?
There's no batfish. Yeah, batfish.
Sorry, what the fuck are you talking about?
You got a cat? No, I got a bat. What? I got a bat. And you're like, batfish? What the fuck's
Dave
wrong with you?
He stepped it up to the middle of the word.
That's right.
He moved one in the middle.
You get some good who's on first shit going on with that. But yeah, so the Crips were the first ones. And then like in 1972, so that was in 1969, is when Raymond Washington and Tukey Williams like really started it. And again,
they grew. They spread fast. I mean, they took over all of South Central LA.
And the
split it.
The proper term is different sets, right? I mean, they'll all be Crips, but they each represent, they each different have a different sets. Leader, a different group, a different neighborhood.
Yep.
So they'll call them a different set. So you can still be a Crip and not be in the same set as another Crip. So you've got slightly, and even like the Great Street Crips, like I went to college with a couple of Grape Street Crips, and they wouldn't wear blue, they would wear purple because they were from Grape Street.
Grape Street, cause.
And it was, and there was, there
that
was,
sounds silly.
There's another, I forget the other one, but there's a group of Bloods
because we're adults
who I think are from like, I think they're from like Lime, they're called like the Lime Street Bloods or something, and they wear green.
Yeah.
But it's like, so, but that's, and the Grape Street Crips are like supposed to be like some of the fucking worst of the worst. Like it's like one of the worst neighborhoods in South Central.
Yeah, because so everybody like has to wear purple.
Right. But if you see somebody in purple, you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
It's like that guy's no joke. He's a Grape Street. Like, but
you can't take that serious. That's like, are they drinking the Gatorade that matches and shit? They're just
probably,
like,
once
I laughed about
grape
the
Welches.
Grape. I laughed about Grape Street until I went there.
Yeah.
And then I was like, motherfucker.
I will not good be going there.
Good thing I have a purple shirt on. Yeah.
I was, because we used,
if I go there, I'm wearing a ghillie suit.
Because some of we would recruit when I worked at Cal State Bakersfield, we would recruit from Watts and Compton and South Central to get people to come to Cal State Bakersfield. And one of the guys who was a Grape Street Crip, like he was like set to, like when he was 17, he was set to start doing Olympic trials for sprinting. He already had a full ride scholarship for UCLA, and he got shot in the knee retaliatory drive-by. And we ended up recruiting him, and he came to Bakersfield with a whole group of other guys from Grape Street. And we would go down there, and like he would coach me. Like we would get down there, and he was like, if you're at the school, you don't have anything to worry about. But if you're out of the school, don't do this. Don't do this with your hands. When we go down there tomorrow, don't wear this. Don't wear this. Don't wear this. Cause you're going to be down there with me, which means you're going to draw attention from everybody from every neighborhood as we're getting into Grape Street. Cause they're going to know who I am. And I was just like, motherfucker, this is, and then you get to Grape Street and you're like, I'm not laughing at any motherfucker wearing purple anymore. Cause they were some bad motherfuckers.
Yeah. I heard there's like convicted rapists running around.
Yeah. Rapists.
Yeah.
So I got the back of the Grape Street Crips because that's a fucking rough ass neighborhood. But all of them, I mean, it's all of the neighborhoods.
They don't give a fuck.
It's all South Central and they don't give a fuck. It's all bad neighborhoods.
That's what I don't understand. Like this guy's going to college. He has like an Olympic scholarship available. And
he had some grape opportunities. Yeah. But I mean, unfortunately got shot in the knee.
His brother, Alexander the Grape.
Yeah. That's right. But now, I mean, now he's like, he teaches high school locally and like is a track coach. And again, he was so fucking fast that even with his reconstructed knee, he still like set state records at like the Cal State level because he was still so badass.
He got and extra hamstrings.
He ended up, I mean, he got out of the life, but he's still
cheetah fucking, hamstrings.
That's right.
he was still explosive and athletic after he got shot.
That's right. But the Grape Street. So in 72 and 73, they start breaking into separate sets and we start to have a lot. By 1978, there were 45 different sets of just the Crips in LA. So it went from like two sets when it started, the one that was run by Washington and the one that was run by Tukey Williams. And
did you see a picture of Tukey?
Yeah.
fucking yoked, dude. Yeah. There was the one guy that you liked, the Pookie. I'm sorry,
Pookie Foot.
Yeah, Pookie. He said
Barefoot Pookie.
Barefoot Pookie said that he's like, I don't got a gay bone in my body, but he was a beautiful something of a man. And then they showed a picture of the motherfucker. Like, damn. And then Ice-T.
He was a body lifter.
Ice-T told a really funny story, dude. He said he doesn't test LA. He don't fuck with LA. Yeah, 15-year-old kid.
No, I saw him saying that.
But he said one time my girlfriend like came in. She's like, these N words be messing with me out here. And he's like, I don't say that. And so Ice-T's like, so I ran out on the porch to see what the fuck's going on. And he walks out there and he said it was Tukey and a lowrider. And I was like, I went back inside. I was like, why you be out on the porch for?
Ice-T also, like, everybody associates Ice-T and all these guys with the Crips. Like, they grew up in the neighborhood.
Right.
But he was never jumped in, he said. He was never, but he affiliated with them, but he was never.
Same thing with Snoop. Like, Snoop is associated with the
Crips. Well, he claims Crip. Like, he claims it. I don't know if he's jumped in or not, like, but that's
the thing. Because then the game claims Bloods. Yeah. But so.
Yeah, there's a lot of rappers that are either Bloods or Crips.
It's, right.
And a lot of stuff, like we get into East Coast
stuff.
Pretty
much all of NWA is aligned with the Crips, but I don't think any of them fully claim it except for Snoop.
I don't know.
I was surprised they were so like accepting of the Cripsters. They have a bunch of like gangsters with fedoras and like V-necks and shit. They'd be riding Fixies in South Central.
Organic.
They're called
coffee.
The Cripsters. Yeah.
Yeah. So the game.
Full of puns.
Attila the pun over here.
Thank you.
Game, Gucci Mane, YG, Lil Wayne, thought of as Bloods, Birdman, Suge Knight. Really? That's kind of weird. DJ Quick, Waka Flocka Flame.
fucking Fozzie Bear over there.
Hi-C, Mac 10.
Waka Flocka Flame.
So J-Rock, Kendrick Lamar, by association, I guess. So Snoop Dogg, Nate Dogg, Eazy, Warren G, Corrupt, Daz, Dillinger, MC Ren, MC8, Ice Cube, by affiliation, Ice-T, Coolio, BG, Knockout,
those are
Tone Loc, they're all Crips. Yeah. So the first ones are Bloods. Those are associated by Crips. Cocaine, Young Jeezy, Schoolboy Q exhibit.
The number of people that you listed seems about right, because from everything that I read, the Crips outnumber the Bloods about 4-1.
I saw 3-1 or something.
And always have.
Except for if you're on the East Coast. East Coast Bloods represent more.
Gotcha.
What was it?
I saw 3-1.
3-1 on the East Coast. Yeah. So it's flip flopped.
Yeah.
Because United Blood Nation, the UBN, they started, and it was an unofficial side of the Bloods. A guy started it in prison.
Right.
And
it basically became the, because you end up with like a different gang in prison.
Yeah.
So like and with the Crips, it was the Folk Nation, which was the prison gang who every time, if you were a Crip, because it's not like you're going to stay in a California prison.
You're
going to get sent wherever. Yeah. So you had to affiliate with another prison gang. So all the Crips affiliated with the Folk Nation.
They transfer you out of state?
If you did a federal crime.
They move you around.
Federal,
So OG Mac, he started the Bloods in Rikers Island.
Right.
To fight the Mexicans. All the Mexicans are ganging up on all the black people.
Which I'd like to bring up. The Crips have no opposition to race. Like, you can be white and be a Crip. I didn't see any of that shit happen in any of the documentaries I watched.
No, they don't.
You can be white, you can be Mexican. If you claim,
they said they said something about if you in blue, something blue. I don't remember what they said. Yeah. But they don't care. Yeah.
And part of the prison thing is how it spread out of LA.
Yeah.
Because if all of a sudden you were a Crip and you're in Folk Nation in fucking Illinois, and you get one or two other, and you make connections in Illinois, and that's where you're incarcerated, and you end up getting out and you stay there, like, you're going to have a set in Chicago all of a sudden, because that's what you're bringing.
I feel like if you're a white guy in South Central as a Crip, though, they're sending your ass to the fucking Liquor Store for the refills on the 40s. Like, I feel like you're still going to be the guy that
either that or you're like extra double psycho hard, because you got to fucking prove it.
Well, it's kind of crazy. Yeah, like,
he don't talk.
These guys. So OG Mac, his name's Omar Porter. And then they had OG Deadeye, which was his partner in crime.
That's a fucking great name.
Yeah. So his name was Joyner, I think. I don't know his first name, but OG Deadeye. I just remember that. But they started it in prison, and it was unofficial, like unsanctioned, they called it. Like, right. It was a fucking, like a tournament or something. Unsanctioned version of the Bloods.
Right.
Like, that's pretty fucking ballsy.
Fuck yeah, it is.
Like, I mean, you know, you're starting up. That'd be like us starting fucking Hell's Angels. You know what I mean? Like, oh, it's unofficial. Well, they're going to be pissed. You know, so...
And I do have to say, speaking of unofficial Bloods, one of the video clips I watched, I'll fucking post a link in the description. It was so awesome. It's from that, whatever that TV show is where they take like the high school kids who think they're hard.
Oh, Scared Straight.
Scared Straight.
Yeah.
And it was a kid who was there, and I think he was a 13-year-old black kid, and he kept like flashing blood signs, and the COs that were there, the people in the prison were like, oh, you think you're a blood? You think you're hard? And he was just like ignoring them and leaning up against the wall. Just a little nerd, had glasses on, like everything. And he was like, oh, you think you're hard? And he took them all into the like the main room, and they ended up getting this fucking crazy ass Crip to come out and got in his fucking face. And the Crip was like, it was the most fucked up thing I've seen in this show. The Crip was just like fucking, oh,
he really stabbed him.
Nigga, what the fuck you think this is, fool? And he was like 7 feet tall, just like looming over this kid in his face. And the kid was just frozen in fear. And then eventually he said, you know what? You start giving me push-ups. Nigga, you do push-ups till I tell you can stop. So this little kid starts doing push-ups. And then the CO comes over and he's like, are you doing what this inmate is telling you to do? You get up and you stop doing push-ups. And like grabbed him by the shirt and lifted him up and pushed him up against the wall. And then the Crip was like, nigga, you think you tougher than me? I said, give me push-ups. And then he jumped back down to the ground. And then the CO pulled him back. And he was just like wrecked. And then they took him. And I didn't see what led to it. But they took him to the cell where apparently he flashed the blood sign to a Crip in a cell. Oh, and so the Crip took him to that cell. And there's a little glass window. There was no way for him to get in. And he took him there and he couldn't even hardly see in the window because the kid was so short. So the Crip picks him up by the back of his shirt and holds his face up to the window. And he's like, apologize. You apologize to this nigga right here. And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And he's starting to cry. Uh-huh. And then he rolls an orange under the door, the Crip does. And then like the CO is like, you know what that means? And he's like, I don't know what that means. And he's like, it means you peel that orange and you give it back to that inmate. And the Crip is like, that's exactly what that means. And he's trying to peel it and he's so nervous he can't even like peel. And he's like, nigga, you peel it with your teeth. And he's like trying to peel the orange with his teeth. There's like snot bubbles coming out.
That's horrible.
Fantastic.
I bet it lasted a week. He went right back to fucking talking shit on Xbox,
throwing
games.
I always watch that show hoping to see that level.
Well, that's kind of cool because I always feel like it was just some drill sergeant
they get the inmates to fuck those kids up.
I'm trying to watch that.
Yeah. Leonard McKenzie is Deadeye's name. Yeah. So the East Coast, that shit, like I said, that shit was crazy because it is unsanctioned. And then, after a while, this was in the late 90s, maybe early 2000s, the Bloods actually sent a couple of the head guys to like New Jersey to start the Double Eyes, which was Inglewood and Illtown or something that they called the town in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. So they started the Double Eyes, which were like the legit Bloods, like they were sanctioned. So
I think that's where Velveeta Shells and Cheese finally fought OG Mac too. Which that was quite the battle.
Did it take you that long?
I was waiting for Dave's story.
Yeah, no, I think he's been waiting to drop that one for a long time.
I was waiting for Dave's story.
But so start.
I'm out. I can't do this podcast anymore. I can't deal with Brent's puns.
So on March 11th, 1979, Tukey got arrested for 4 murders and got taken out of the scene. And on August 8th, 1979, Raymond Washington got gunned down and killed. So at this point, there's a loss of leadership, and that's really where the Crips started to spread significantly, because those two guys weren't calling the shots anymore. And that was right before 1980. And then 2 or 3 years later, that's when the crack epidemic hits. And that's when the gang really starts to be prominent, because they are the ones, I mean, as we talked about, they were getting the crack from the CIA.
Yeah, and it changed everything too, though. Like they became not so much worried about the streets and everything else.
And
they were just worried about money.
They're worried about money.
Yeah.
And
I read, it brought up the weird scenario. There were no lines drawn. They didn't know what the rules were of who's selling where, when. Right. You know, there was no hierarchy of structure. There's multiple sets. And then those dudes are alpha males. So that creates a problem.
And that also led to the spread of the Crips and the Bloods, because like we talked about that other episode with the CIA bringing crack cocaine into Los Angeles. Like that was the funnel of crack for the entire nation. Like it was coming through LA and it was coming through Florida. So all of a sudden, like the hottest street drug is being controlled by the Crips and the Bloods, and they're now setting up operations, different sets in different cities, you know, Vegas, San Francisco, whatever, because there's money behind them, because they have this crack money.
Some dude said on a bad day he was making $3,000 a day.
Yeah.
He said we didn't even look at tax. We just bought shit. Yeah. Yep. You just walk in the store and just buy whatever you want.
And keep in mind, so you're from one of the most financially disadvantaged areas of Los Angeles. You don't know, like, and you're, you know, by the 1980s, you're like second generation. It's like everybody you know was a Crip or a Blood. And there's, you're not going to fucking college. You're not getting a decent job. You're going to be fucking flipping burgers or doing some bullshit. And all of a sudden, these guys are making $3,000 a day. Like, what decision are you going to make?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the only, like, even if it's for altruistic reasons, even your fucking brother has asthma, your mom's sick, like, you got to do something to pay the bills. That's the only thing left that feels real. And, you know, like, you know, I'm not going to join the NBA, but I can fucking sell crack right now.
So that or shoplift at Walmart, you know, you got to make a decision at some point in time.
That's mostly white people.
Oh.
Brent can't take the silence.
I had to fill the silence
out. Freaks out.
So, but the Bloods, like rewinding pre-crack epidemic. So the Bloods end up starting on kind of as a response to the Crips largely. And I really didn't know this about them. So they were started by two guys named Sylvester Scotty and Benson Owens. Again, they were in high school. It was all teenagers. And apparently in the late 1960s, there was an attack after a concert. And it was on March of 1972. It was a Wilson Pickett and Curtis Mayfield concert. And a guy named Robert Ballou Jr. was attacked and killed. 20 Crips basically beat him to death for his jacket.
Oh, the leather jacket. Yeah.
For his leather jacket. And as a response, Sylvester Scotty and Benson Owens, huge media outpour. This crazy gang just killed this guy at a concert in public. You know, none of them were brought to justice. So the Bloods formed, again, kind of like the Crips did, as a way to protect ourselves. We're protecting our neighborhood from the Crips. And they ended up starting it from a place called Centennial High School in Compton, California. And originally they were the Piru, P-I-R-U street gang. And that was sort of, there was the West Piru and there was the Piru street gangs. And they ended up basically becoming the Bloods. And it was because they would call each other Blood as a nickname. And that ended up being the name that stuck instead of Piru. But they still, different sets. That's because
no one's scared of Sherpas. They're just good at carrying shit on mountains. So it wasn't very intimidating.
Oh my God. Jesus.
I told you I'm out. I'm just searching the internet.
If I'm not funny, I'm punny. I got to try it. You know what I mean? It's a numbers game here.
Is that because of the gang you're in?
Yeah.
You don't like the Frips, so you change it into P's?
Yeah.
It can't be funny. I got to be punny. But this ends up getting it started. And again, more and more groups started to join them as the Crips got bigger. And because they were always outnumbered, like apparently in the early days, the Bloods kept escalating the viciousness.
He thinks he's funny. He's over there fucking laughing.
He's got another horrible pun in his mind. Go ahead.
I got nothing. Okay.
So
they got to really make the cut now. You guys raised the bar. Okay. Clearly I'm not making it. So
the Bloods had to be like super ruthless to compete with the Crips. So, and again, it's like if you get in a sparring match with somebody, it's like you start gentle, and if they hit you in the face, you hit them in the, like, it keeps escalating, mm-hmm. you know? So the Bloods kept escalating it because so they like, had to, because like they didn't have the numbers.
Like
exactly.
Start out soft and easy. Then before you know, you're choking her.
Yeah. Getting bit in the face. face. Yeah, all that stuff
happens.
Yeah. So from a lot of the different sources I read, the Bloods were largely the most ruthless because they had to be, because they were outnumbered. So when it came to crack cocaine time and there were suddenly guns on the street, et cetera, the Bloods were usually the quickest to strike first, and the Crips were often doing retaliatory strikes in the early days, because eventually it just became a massive war and it didn't matter. But in the early days, they kept escalating it from the let's tie our hands together and get in a knife fight.
As far as retaliation, they didn't do a lot of fact checking. Like, I saw a lot of shit where, like, they're like, oh, like, someone got burned on a coke deal. Someone sold them flour and took their money. And these dudes are like, oh, we can't find the guys, but I heard his sister is like 16 and drives a red car.
Yeah.
Cue red car to intersection. Two young black girls fucking get lit hundreds up. Of bullets.
Right.
Kill the wrong fucking people.
Yeah. Right.
They went through a house like fucking high on crack. Killed the whole fucking family. Yeah. Wrong fucking house.
Well, they shot the mom, and it was a he was a football player in the NFL. Shot the mom. Shot two sisters, and then two little 8-year-old boys, and then one was in the closet. Yeah. Didn't get killed.
A 13-year-old hid in the closet and came out to his 2 8-year-old brothers, like, executed, fucking bullet in the head while he slept.
Yep.
Oh, it happens. It happens all the time. Like, there's endless.
And it was the wrong house.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that was.
Or even if it's not that, even if it's not, we went into the house to kill everybody. It's. You pull up at an intersection and the car next to you pulls up and it's a different set that you're at war with. You pull out your guns and start shooting, and whoever happens to be on the other side of that fucking car is getting shot.
Yeah.
Like, it's endless. Kids getting shot, regular people getting shot, just in the house past where the drive-by was.
The specific incidents where they shot the girl in the red car, the brother of the girl that got killed got a hold of some guns and was going to go and retaliate and kill the guys that killed her. And the mom was like, that's the wrong thing to do. You're just going to make another mom feel like me.
Yeah, this is the shitty part.
And then 8 years later, he ends up getting killed for wearing the wrong fucking color in the wrong neighborhood.
Right.
And he stayed out of gang.
So both of her kids had been killed.
Right.
And they were unassociated with gang stuff. It was just a mistake.
And that's the thing. Like, when I was talking about, like, when I would fucking go down to recruit down there, like, and it was like, don't wear this or this or this. It was like, because you will get shot.
Yeah.
And it's like, motherfucker.
Like, can I just wear all white?
Like, Jesus Christ. You know, I mean, it's fucking crazy.
You know what? The funny thing is, like, it all stemmed from, they were all kids. Like, they started this shit in high school. And that's why it sounds so stupid now.
And they just are not remorseful. Like, the five guys that shot that girl, they sat through court. They're just like laughing.
They were
and snickering.
Laughing,
they went to jail. It's just, it's the mindset, man. I was surprised to see some of those guys that came out of it, though. And, like, they're advising movies isn't real great. But there are some guys that are actually out of it and helping people.
Right.
Because my original thought is there's no saving any of these motherfuckers. Like, you almost think, like, just drop a bomb on those motherfuckers or something. Because there's 35,000 of them just running around shooting people, shooting innocent people, going to people's houses. They're doing no good. But some of those dudes get fucking out of it and become mentors and shit.
I think it's an immaturity thing. Like, as you get older, like, life has more of a purpose to you.
You know? And I could, if you're 16, 17 years old,
you're
in a fucking poor neighborhood and you know, the whole single mother thing.
It doesn't matter if you're in a poor neighborhood or not. Rich kids have gangs too.
That's true.
You know what I mean? They go and fuck and do stupid shit.
If you're susceptible, you get fucking.
Yeah. You're a kid and you're an idiot.
Like, and here's the other thing. The people in charge of the gangs aren't idiots and they need kids.
Yeah.
So it's like, I see a kid who's a fucking idiot and I know that motherfucker's going to sell crack for me and he's willing to fucking step it up and get violent.
Yep.
That's who I'm going to target, make feel better, give him a fucking chain.
But the thing is, those guys learned it at a young age too.
Sure.
They were stupid when they got into it. And then now they grew up in it. That's just the lifestyle.
Right, exactly.
They've learned. They have the street smarts.
And there are a good amount of people, like I said, who there's no other opportunity that they have.
Yeah.
So they get into it to help their family to do whatever. And I think a lot of those guys grow up and realize, I need to fucking get out of this.
Yeah.
Like, I now have a way I can make other money. I don't have to do this for the family anymore. So a lot of people get out of it. Or a lot of people just have a fucking change of heart.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah, because no matter how ruthless you think you are, in the end, you know, it's going to catch up to you.
Yeah, there's always a bigger fish, to quote one of the worst Star Wars movies.
I don't know.
My puns are worse than that shit.
I didn't have that one, but he only threw out one so far. You're like at like 20.
It's a numbers game, but how many funny ones did I get?
I didn't laugh at any of them, honestly. I mean, a lot of your fans, and I call them your fans because they like stupid shit. They'll like
Thanks.
It.
Well, I think the problem is the puns go to your head and you feel like you have unlimited power.
Yeah, that's true.
This is true.
It just keeps coming out. And then they just get worse.
Reference.
Yeah, they get worse.
Emperor Palpatine said that. You wanted unlimited power?
I'm out. Fucking out of here.
Brad, you're required.
This show's almost over.
You're required.
This show's almost over.
You're required to make some jokes in the next.
I don't have to.
Oh, shit. I wish you could have seen the looks on their faces. Oh, man.
Anyway, let's get back to killing babies.
So, it's my Star Wars references are worse than killing babies, is what we're getting down to. By the time it hit the prisons, by the time crack cocaine came out, it was just a huge thing. And then, like I said, NWA, those movies came out in the early 90s, and it just became a massive cultural thing. And it really became a driving force in black culture everywhere. I mean, it didn't matter if you were in Atlanta or Detroit or whatever, you were suddenly wearing fucking baggy pants. Mm-hmm. That look spread through the nation because everybody wanted to be a gangster, or everybody wanted to at least look tough, even if you don't have the balls to be a gangster, like you still wanted to look tough. And that became,
we just talked about the Sons of Anarchy complex. You know what I mean? Like as in the Hell's Angels episode, that's just what it is. You know, people see it, they think it's glorified.
Right.
And they think they want to do that.
Right.
Until they get shot.
Right. Know, like, that's, right.
Or fucking their face sliced open, you know.
Yeah, like, some fucking gnarly shit. But yeah, so there's, you know, at the, like Brent was saying, now there's somewhere, the estimates are 35,000 members of the, in the LA of the, just the Crips.
That was as of 2008.
Making it one of the largest criminal gangs, 800 sets from coast to coast in the nation, 13,000 Crips just in Los Angeles City.
Ice-T said he don't fuck with LA because that's why.
Yeah, exactly. And here's the, like, it's like, if you haven't been to LA, like, LA isn't that big sprawl. LA is Los Angeles small. City is a very small part in what you would call LA, which is
outlying cities.
Right. You know, it's not Burbank, it's not Hollywood, it's not whatever, but there's 13,000 in Los Angeles. Yeah. Like that's a very dense population of gang members.
Yeah.
And it still is. I mean, it's not like,
and that's not the only gang either there. You know, you have the Bloods, you have the Mexican gangs, you have other black gangs.
Yep.
There's a shit ton of them.
Absolutely. There's a lot of different gangs. And the thing is, like, it reaches a point where it's not even just the Bloods and the Crips anymore. Like, I watched one whole documentary on the fact that the East Coast Crips were at war with the Great Street Crips. And within a week of one person getting killed, 13 people had been killed in retaliation combined on both sides in a week. Like, one gang, and they were both Crips. I looked at another thing. There was, it happened earlier as well. There was, in Watts, the Grape Street Crips and the PJ Watt Crips have feuded so much that the PJ Watts Crips had to start teaming up with local Blood sets because they couldn't compete with the Grape Street Crips. So they had to start making alliances with Bloods just to defend themselves with Crips. So eventually the Blood Crip distinction becomes meaningless compared to the set you claim, because you might go to war with another Crip set or another Blood set. It doesn't matter.
During a certain 3-year period or something, they actually signed a fucking peace treaty or something. They sat down, we're signing shit. I was like, what are they signing? They're going to hold themselves accountable to some paper they fucking signed? I doubt that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, they said, some said it lasted a couple months, some said it lasted a couple years, but they said that the crime dropped about 10%.
Yeah.
The gang
mortality percentage or something.
10%. Yeah. Right. So not a whole lot.
Yeah.
Like they're like, oh, the peace treaty worked. And
but the problem is you've got, like, drop. I'm sure that a number of sets were like, we're now not fucking with people.
Yeah.
But, you know, when there's that many sets in LA, there's a whole lot for every set that's not fucking with people. There's three that are, I'm sure the peace treaty did help because 10% of the people followed it, you know, but I mean, I think, and even there was a thing in, 2016 where, Snoop Dogg and the Game, Again, because they represent the Bloods and the Crips. They came with a group of Bloods and a group of Crips, and they went down to the LAPD just like some random day, and they filmed it. They just went down to the LAPD to try to speak to the highest member of the LAPD they could, just to have a dialogue. And their whole point was, like, the dialogue is the important thing, because you keep shooting black people, and if you stopped and talked to people, you might know something about them and realize they're not a threat and whatever. And but the day they went down there, it just so happened that in the front courtyard they were having the LAPD graduation of, like, the entire graduating class for this and they didn't know that. They just happened to be down there, so they filmed it. And actually, like, it ended up being a good thing. Like, the chief of police for the LAPD came down and talked with them, and they had this whole thing. But as part of this in 2016 with the whole Black Lives Matter thing, there were Bloods and Crips, like, everywhere that were, like, calling peace, like, in order to go to these marches and in order to, but the same thing. I mean, there were times where there were riots in cities, like during the Rodney King riots, the Bloods and the Crips declared peace because the whole city was under a riot. There's a lot of areas in different cities where when something bad is happening in their neighborhood, they declare that they're temporarily at peace.
He's like, I'm gonna get that TV. Like, I'm looking for that big screen.
I don't want to worry about being shot while I'm getting this TV. I just call bullshit on that. Be like the whole Black Lives Matter thing, like the gangs they stopped all of a sudden shooting each other,
right?
Like, you've been killing for decades other black people,
right?
Like, and didn't give a fuck. Innocent people, gang members, it didn't matter.
That's a really good point.
And yet, like, you're gonna stop now. You're gonna stop now. You went into a house and killed babies and shit, you know, and didn't give a fuck, and all the gangs are like, yeah, you did it, and killed fucking moms and dads and everything, you know. I was watching a documentary, and they said that one of the Bloods was, I think I mentioned it to you, the trying to recruit an 8-year-old kid.
Yep.
And the dad wouldn't let him have it. And he was just like, nope. And so he disrespected the Bloods.
8 years old is my son's age.
Eight years old. Yeah.
Crazy.
My daughter's 10. Yeah. And I'm like, I can't see her in a gang. Like, oh, they're gonna, what are they going to gang rape her? Like, like, what's happening? Right. So the guy goes and gets a gun, comes back. The neighbors are all gathered around. He shoots the guy point blank twice.
Shoots the dad
in the yard in front of everybody.
Yeah.
And then points the gun at the kid because he's like, why'd you kill my dad? Points the gun at the kid. And then I guess figured, like, oh shit, there's witnesses. I better take off.
Or else he would have killed the kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. 8 years old and murders the kid's dad because he didn't want him in a gang.
Right.
You know, and that's the type of shit that's going on. That's just one instance, you know. And then all of a sudden, Black Lives Matter. Like, I don't buy that shit. You know, it's just an opportunity to put your face in a camera, you know. And not that black lives don't matter. I think that's just,
no, I hear what you're saying. Right? I think
that was just a bad,
I mean, I do have respect for a lot of facets of the Black Lives Matter movement, but if you're a fucking gangster who's fucking indiscriminately shooting a fucking Mac 10 through a neighborhood
and then all
killing
of a sudden,
random black people, like, you don't get to be mad that cops are killing random black people.
I don't think that's an excuse, you know,
I agree with that.
But, there are cases though where, you know, that aren't excused, but on both sides. So how can you be mad at people?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
and I think one of the things that I saw regularly was that the, like, in documentaries that I was reading, is that they're compared to other street gangs, like, everybody was, because I was reading, like, a lot of things by, like, groups who just watch gangs, like, whether it's the mafia, whether it's this, whatever. And, like, almost all of them are like the Bloods and the Crips, like the LA gang scene is one of the most remorseless, heartless groups of killers.
Yeah.
Like, they, like, compared, like the mob has a code, the Yakuza has a code, like, all these groups.
You don't kill women.
There's,
you don't,
limitations.
Kill,
like, you don't kill people outside of the game.
Even, like, the Iceman didn't right, like right, hits exactly. on women, didn't but put hits, like, on
and
kids.
And there's just thousands of them that'll just shoot a motherfucker in a minute. And again, that's why Ice-T is like, you don't game LA. Like, you don't fucking fuck with
that. Yeah, that, like, one mom said, like, what kind of society is it? There's clearly a problem when a 15-year-old kid can go just kill somebody and then go home and play video games and not even think about it. Just go play Call of Duty or whatever. It's like, I'm over it. Like,
It's like, and like at the heyday of like the crack cocaine epidemic, like that's when the LA gang life was really at the forefront of popular culture and mass media, but it hasn't died down. Like those neighborhoods are just as fucking bad right now as they were, maybe even worse because there's even more factions. Like you don't even know who's at war with who anymore. Like it's still fucking crazy down there. Like the LA gang scene is no joke. And it's like, one of the documentaries I watched, it was, and again, like you see footage like this all the fucking time. And if you're in LA, you'll see it on the news. But if you're outside of LA, it just doesn't make the news. But like all the times people who like some kid gets killed,
some kid gets killed, he's in a gang.
So at the funeral, obviously the gang is going to represent, right?
Yeah.
So what does that mean to the other gang? It's a prime fucking target.
Yeah. Right.
So there's tons of, this documentary that I saw, like the mother, like they're in a church, there's tons of cops in riot gear in front of the church because they want to deter, you know, retaliation, violence, et cetera. Tons of gang members in the church, tons of family members in the church. And at one point there's a scuffle between the reporters and the police. So the people in the church just heard like the scuffle and the screaming and whatever. And there's cameras in there and the church just goes into a fucking panic because everyone in the church thinks they're about to get fucking shot.
Right.
And the mother ends up getting a mic and like calming down the whole congregation. And she's like, it's a misunderstanding. It's just a reporter. Everybody calm down. This is my son's funeral.
And then she pulled her nine out of her little Lucy hat. She's like, pulled that shit out.
But it's like, I mean, that's like everybody in the church. I mean, it shows balls to everyone going to the funeral. Like if I thought there was a good chance I was going to get shot at a funeral, I'll fucking pass on the funeral.
Right. Yeah, but there's like that's crazy though. There's no respect for, okay, we killed them, let them have their funeral.
No.
You know what I mean? We want the same in return. You know?
And it's not like they're going to pull up and just shoot that one guy. They're just going to fucking open up on the church.
They're going to kill everybody.
Like, it's just, they're the most remorseless fucking gangs. Like they'll just kill fucking anybody. Crazy. It's crazy.
That is crazy. I'm glad I'm not in a gang.
Yep. You want to start one?
Are you in a gang? Well, we are starting one.
Oh, yeah. The scooter gang.
Yep. Yeah. Someone made the jacket. It's pretty weak. I want it to be a little more serious than that.
Yeah. Well, they're not in the gang. Yeah. So let's just put it that way. Yeah,
definitely. That's not going to be the jacket, just for the record.
So we do have, we actually, I know we need to get into the sponsors, but we have a handful of patrons who used to be in the Bloods and the Crips,
and we want to give
them a shout out because they turned their lives around, and we just want to say what their gang names were, et cetera. But go ahead and hit the sponsors real quick.
So once again, we need to thank El Yucateco Hot Sauce. That is our primary sponsor. If you haven't tried it, you should try it. There's pretty much a flavor for every occasion. So you can get that on elyucateco.com. You can get that at Walmart, Target, most major grocery stores. It's sitting on some restaurant table somewhere near your home. They do sell gear in their gear store online. You can save money on that stuff by using code SOFAKING. Mm-hmm. If you're outside of the U.S., you can get it at mexgrocer.co.uk. And thank you to Print Dirt Cheap.
This is a perfect chance for you to sneak in some puns.
Puns? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've got none.
Okay. Thinking
real hard.
Yeah, we know you are.
Nothing. No. You guys do it behind it. See if I can barrel through the sponsors while you guys make your puns behind it. That's always a good one.
You like that?
I do like
a challenge.
I like it. You guys ready?
Yeah, go.
Thank you to Print Dirt Cheap. You can log into printdirtcheap.com for all your printed goods. They sell flyers, banners, posters, business cards. You can get your Crip or Blood business cards. Those are essential when leaving them on bodies after assassinations. And you can save some money when you order those Crip business cards by using code SOFAKING. Thank you to De Leon Graphics. He loves dick pillows, dick pics.
So do you.
But he also makes koozies, t-shirts, and other screen printed goods. You can find him on Facebook or Instagram at De Leon Graphics with an X. Thank you to Digital Creations for our coffee mugs and other printed goods. They do heat transfer style gifts.
No, they don't.
You can find them on Facebook and Instagram, and you can get your own custom gift.
Where can you find them at again? You
put your grandma's face on a cup or a serial killer on a cup.
Why would you do that?
You could make conspiracy coffee mugs. You could make, you could have a JFK assassination coffee mug if you wanted. There's all kinds of weird shit you could do.
And wizard is a really horrible slang term that was used in a Star Wars prequel.
What was it?
Wizard.
Wizard? Yeah. I got me off track a little bit out of curiosity.
Sorry.
Let's hear it. Yeah.
Sorry.
So thank you to Digital Creations. Also, thank you to Dan Camrio Jiu Jitsu. You can log into armhunter.com to get instructional DVDs and apparel. I heard he does have some Easter egg crotch shots on there that were like, you know, kind of zoom in Jiu Jitsu moves on no gi night. And if you look closely, the contrast, mess with it a little bit, maybe some photoshopping to remove certain filters and colors, you can make an outline out. Yeah, it's sure not as impressive as mine genetically, but he's not empty-handed over there. He does bring it to the battle. Hands behind his back, no pills, traditional rules. Dan, I challenge you. If I see you on the street, we're going to cock battle in the grocery store. I'm going commando to the produce section.
I don't know how well his sponsorship's working.
It's working out great. My goal is not necessarily to get attendance or sales and instructional DVDs. It's more of a rise.
Personal.
Yeah, rise out of Dan. I just want him to know.
Yeah, because he's very quiet.
I just want
quiet.
Him to know I'm here.
He's a very quiet guy.
It's hard to make him smile. You know, he's real serious all the time. Yeah. He's just constantly thinking about armbar and you, flying triangle or something. So if you can get him to giggle, you've got him on the run if you're in a jiu-jitsu match. But if he's sitting in his car driving to a tournament and I talk about the outline of his penis with my Photoshop filters, he's definitely laughing wherever he's at. If he's
or angry.
So, yeah. More maybe.
Too.
Yeah.
Catch me if you can, man. I'm on a moped gang, man. I'm not on a moped. I'm on a rascal, and you're not going to fucking catch me, man.
Yeah. Dirty rascals, baby.
So that's all I got on that. And on that note, it's gangster knickknack time. So that's where
knickknack, paddywhack.
Knickknack, paddywhack.
Give a bitch a crack sack.
There we go. We're calling this section knickknack, paddywhack, give a bitch a crack sack. And on that note, who wants to go first?
That was fantastic. Yeah.
There's one thing I can do. It is rhyme. Yeah. So, I have Breck Gonzalez, or Gonzales, however you want to say that. They're actually a blood, and they went by Brecker 911. So that was really strange.
That is strange.
It's because one time one of their homies was down and they actually got in the cop car and they didn't know what the code was. And they were like,
this is Brecker.
Yeah, man, Brecker. Like, he was all of a sudden, it was an Australian.
Snowman, this is Snowball.
Arkansas Crip. Australia and Arkansas are a long way apart.
Truck driver. Yeah.
What's your next one?
I'm doing all of them right now.
Well, I don't know. You got to
figure it out. I've got one.
I got a couple.
there was one of our Patreons used to be in L.A., a guy named Brian Ross. He cleaned up his life. he was in the – he was a – it's one particular set. It's the Persimmon Street Bloods.
And they would, the colors.
They would wear like a mauve kind of a thing. It didn't really look like
flashy.
It didn't really look like a persimmon at all, but that was the color that they chose. And his nickname was apparently Discount Boy.
Discount Boy. Nice. Yeah. Did they carry around persimmon golf clubs, drivers?
No, just the fruit. The name?
Just the fruit.
The persimmons. And they would carry the sad thing is it was in LA, so they could only grow the American persimmons, the ones that have to like sit on your cupboard for like a month and a half before you bake them in a nasty cookie. They couldn't even get the delicious Fujita persimmons that are grown in Japan.
All right. That's nice.
Is it my turn?
I guess so.
Unless you want to best me with persimmon knowledge.
No. Tough act to follow. As is this last name, hard to say. Mine was Carmen Labarsas. Labarsas? I don't know. L-A-B. Carmen. I'll just say her nickname because that's easier. Her nickname was Cocaine Camel Toe Carmen because apparently she was used to smuggle stuff. You know, people, she wore tight pants and there was a spot you could hide some shit. So she could fit a couple little baggies down there.
She
and
wore some Peg Bundys.
Yeah, that's how she got
Peg
the name.
Bundys.
Cocaine Camel Toe Carmen.
Wow.
So that's how her name came about. And then I have another one, unless someone's going next.
That was my last one.
There you go. Yeah, so I have Cole Mix, who used to be in the Cardinal Knuckle Tribe. Mm-hmm. They were. I think, I don't know if they were a Southern gang or not either, but he went by Ho Teaser Sea Dog.
Wow.
So
it's a mouthful.
Yeah.
All right. My last one's Alicia Gerhardt. And she was in the Crips, but she hung around with Kimbo Slice. And a lot of people see those videos online. They don't realize there was an entire like bare knuckle backyard girl fights. Mm-hmm. But you just don't see them enough. But apparently she was a champion amongst them. And they just called her Bye Bye Felicia Alicia because she would just knock bitches the fuck out. Wow. And she'd be like, Bye Bye Felicia. And she walked the fuck away. Mic wow. drop. Yeah, she's don't a badass. Yeah, if you look on YouTube for Bye Bye Felicia Alicia, there's videos of it. It's right. pretty crazy.
It's like some street shit.
She was hanging out with Kimbo back in the day. Yeah.
Yep.
So pretty so impressive.
Last one.
That's all I had. Yeah.
So my last one's Justin May. He told me he was in the Diamond Thorns.
I heard of them.
That set. Yeah. His
108th Street, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah. His name was Big Papa J Killer.
Mm.
So that's what he went by.
No story behind it. That's just what they called him.
Well, he sucked a lot of J, which they didn't use. They didn't use P. Because the Persimmon Gang, they hexed right. that one out.
So right. They couldn't use C.
Big Papa, yeah, Big Papa J Killer, which J stood for dick.
Right.
He was the, yeah, he sucked a lot of dick.
Yeah, in high school, it was kind of known that he was gay. He was jocks. He sucked a lot of jocks. Yeah. Yeah. So that's how it worked out.
Yeah.
Yep. You don't get to pick your nicknames. You know what I mean?
No, you earn them. I mean, those are earned.
He lucked out, sucking off all those jocks, getting a cool name like Big Papa K or whatever it is, whatever you just said that I already forgot.
Big Papa J Killer.
All right. Well, bye bye.
Don't make fun of him.
I'm not.
Make fun of him. That might kill us.
It's gonna do suck me off. Is that his threat?
No. He could suck the life out of you though.
I'll tell him
one fucking thing.
Tell him you finish up and get the fuck out of here.
Have you seen those lips? Yeah.
I'm gonna look on Facebook and see what these lips look like.
Yeah.
All right. That's all I got.
Can we go home now?
I guess I'm going home too. All right. Don't be retarded. West Coast.
The doctor's advocate. Get a blunt, roll a weed, light it up, nigga. Sippin' on gin and juice, fill up your cups, nigga. The West Coast back crackin' like it's 94. So bitch, get on your knees and give me head like it's 94. And don't come up for air till the beat drop. I'm the doctor's advocate, call it a sneak peek at the motherfuckin' detox. Take note, grab a pen and let the world know the West is riding again. I graduated from Dre school, top of my class. Treat my switches like my bitches, got them droppin' that ass. Still bangin' the chronic like doggy style came with it. And I roll up sticky on my bitch back while I hit it. I done been there, done that, had beefs and won that. 5 million records on one plaque, I hung that. Still got Dr. Dre low riding in the 6-4. When you see us, throw it up for the fucking West Coast.
My heartbeat for the West Coast. We grow the best weed on the West Coast. We low ride on the West Coast. So oh my God, throwing up the West Coast. My heartbeat for the West Coast. We grow the best weed on the West Coast. Still low riding on the West Coast. You should take a trip and visit the West Coast.
Check game, I'ma show you how to bang. Uncle Snoopy, is it true you from that 20 gang? All the time, Neff, I gotta let my nuts hang. A chest full of chains, left hang with a pinky ring. I'm in a Stella cap, swish a sweet pillow back. My little hood rat, baby got that mini Mac. Baby got that 20 sack, baby got plenty that. Whatever you send us, my knockoff, we gon' send it back. I'm in the club with the snub, getting love. With 20,000 rips and 20,000 bloods. And we don't give a fuck about none of y'all. And when you hit the city, you better holler at the big dog. I done seen niggas hit LA and get they chain snatched. Then they call me up begging me to get they chain back. What I look like, the motherfucking police? It's certain rules you got to follow when you in these streets. Especially when it comes to this Cali shit. And I ain't talking about hanging in the valley, bitch. Gang bang niggas all up in the alley crib. On some real talk, nigga, we the real West Coast.
My heartbeat for the West Coast. We grow the best weed on the West Coast. We low ride on the West Coast. So oh my God, throwing up the West Coast. My heartbeat for the West Coast. We grow the best weed on the West Coast. Still low ride on the West Coast. You should take a trip and visit the West Coast.
I heard the blue rag niggas ain't fucking with the red rag niggas on the West Coast.
Fuck you, man.
Shit, from what I seen, red and blue can make green. Black Wall Street and Exxon Lee. Since jealousy breeds hatred,
hatred breeds violence. Violence breeds enemies. More permanent silence. California alliance. It's more important than ever. So throw it up. We low riding together. Yeah. Make the West Coast rise forever. S.A.'s, B's, and C's represent your letter. Got game to go getter. Exhibit the rhyme spitter. Snoop Dogg, the boss. We gangster at all costs. Your niggas are so soft and pussy, so fuck off. For one of my niggas, draw that hammer and dump off. It's Kush, you gon' cough. Yeah, inhale the smoke, bandana hang, bang the coast, my niggas.
West Coast, my heart beat for the West Coast. We grow the best weed on the West Coast. We low ride on the West Coast. So oh my God, throwing up the West Coast. My heart beat for the West Coast. We grow the best weed on the West Coast. Still low ride on the West Coast. You should take a trip and visit the West Coast. West Coast. West Coast. West Coast.